Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. All right, 6:13 now. Baby, hope you survived the giant hail. Last night, an invasion of giant hail.
It was crazy.
You know, it's funny. Far west, as you know, I live in Los Angeles.
If you're gonna,
I didn't get the giant hail.
You should go right to the top six because that's number one on our top.
Yeah,
six.
I'm going to jump to it, but I just want to make sure you guys are all alive.
We didn't have any.
We didn't have it.
See, I think I'm the only one that got it. It was awful. 12:31 o'clock. Do you want me to wait till the top six or six?
Yeah, it was awful. It was, I think it was like quarter or ping pong ball
size. Yeah, it was more golf and ping pong.
Yeah, it was giant.
Which is the same size, I believe.
I just got one watermelon chunk of hail.
Right,
that's it. Giant watermelon chunk of hail.
That doesn't seem fair because you would have used the golf ball sized hail.
I would have.
Over the right white eagle.
It was like somebody throwing rocks at my window.
It was crazy. Yeah. I was terrified. I thought it was a tornado. I almost ran to the basement.
In other news, and I suppose I could take this up with Lou, if you have Comcast, Xfinity, Schmini, whatever they call it, I have a TV in my office which continues to turn itself on in the middle of the night, and I came down this morning, I hear this. Now the house is dark because, you know, it's 4:30 in the morning, and that's a weird sound to hear. And, you know, because this has happened many times, I realize what it is. There's obviously a ghost in my office. And I go down to my office and the TV's on again. This happens maybe once a week.
It's poltergeist.
So obviously the house is haunted. Or Xfinity. And I've Googled this up a couple of times that, you know, people have this problem. But I feel like I've made the appropriate technical adjustments. So I'm going to have to go to the listeners on this. How do you keep your TV from turning on in the middle of the night?
Unplug it, maybe?
By the way, it's only my office television.
Do you have it set on some kind of a timer? Or?
No. No timer. And, you know, the update sometimes, supposedly kicks it on.
Yeah, that used to happen to us on one of our TVs, but I don't remember.
And the other TVs? No, doesn't happen. Yeah. And the office TV is the most secluded one in an office that's not used every minute of the day, so that's where the spooky sounds come from, the spookiest. So between that and the hail, good God, we're all lucky we're alive.
Are you sure you're not turning it off when you leave your office?
You mean I'm sure I'm leaving it on, possibly?
Yeah. Are you sure you've turned it off?
I'm 6 months or at least away from that kind of behavior.
Because, like, if you freeze it, you know, you pause it, but then leave the room, it comes back to life later.
Yeah, that's what mine does sometimes.
Do you have a cat?
Have you met me? Let's do the top six and six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Lime-sized hail seems to be the general consensus. Some people say golf balls. Some people say things between golf balls and limes.
Ping pong and golf, I think, are the same size. Limes come in different sizes.
There's not a meteorological, that's not how you determine.
Yeah, lime is not good.
Well, why can't we use fruit from now on?
They come in different sizes.
So does the hail. The hail's not perfectly sized.
Ping pong balls and golf balls come in the same size. So you've got to go with them.
The hail is all irregularly sized.
Okay.
So did you see how this was written? I just wanted to know. I did not write this.
The margaritas anyone?
Margaritas anyone?
No, come on. From a meteorological standpoint, here's the chart. You have pea-sized hail, penny size, quarter, ping pong, golf ball, baseball.
Watermelon.
Yes,
no softball. Exactly.
Grapefruit. The only fruit on here is grapefruit, and that's when it gets to be 4.5 inches.
Let me tell you something. If there's grapefruit-sized hail falling, it's over.
It's over. You will die.
And this is what I don't understand, because I don't live that far from this area. An area near Plainfield was hit with 1-inch hail. Lockport saw 1 inch of rain an hour. Forecasters caution thunderstorm warnings were issued yesterday for the Chicago area. Be on the radar through next Wednesday as possibility.
Lucky us.
Oh, great.
Next, farmers and officials in Illinois and Missouri desperately battling floodwaters along the Mississippi River. Have you seen any of the video of this?
It's horrible.
Because we don't think about it.
I know.
It's not on our radar. And you see some of the video, and it's just looking out the window. It looks like you're being attacked by the river. So God bless you, people. I can't imagine what the farmers are trying to do, trying to get fields planted, and let alone having your property under threat like this. And more rain coming. Next, President Trump and his acting defense secretary, Patrick Shanahan, said that Trump did not want to go to war with Iran, according to several administration officials. And somehow the mustache, Michael Bolton, keeps pulling stunts that could be threats. And the biggest problem you have now is a potential mistake. We talked about this with Chuck Todd yesterday. Did the Iranians misthink what we were doing, or did we not understand what they were doing? That's how wars start. Who was the guy in Archduke Ferdinand, right? World War One?
Right.
So we got an Archduke Ferdinand situation. That's what you want to avoid.
Yeah, and the mustache guy, he is just drooling to go to war with Iran. This is like he's been his dream forever, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's just. Next, the Chicago production of Hamilton has announced it will close January 5th, 2020. So it seems like a long ways away, but if you've been meaning to get tickets, you know what I'm saying?
Did you see the number of people who have attended Hamilton? It's something like a billion people in Chicago.
Isn't that crazy?
In Chicago? How's that possible? I would think the total numbers...
You might be exaggerating a billion.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, I've been twice.
Well, so it is possible. Of course it's a billion.
They were counting each eye.
You got to go, man.
I know.
You got to go.
No, it's crazy. It's so expensive.
You know, well, that's the thing. I am against paying for any tickets because, you know, I'm in show business. But I bought tickets to Hamilton, and I'll probably do it again. Yeah. Next.
Sassy.
The College Board, the company that administers the SAT exam, said it would include a measure of students' socioeconomic background to help colleges put test scores in context. A rating will be calculated using 15 different factors, including crime rate and poverty level of a student's neighborhood. It will not affect test scores. It'll be reported only to college admissions officials. I don't have a problem with this. I mean, we have all sorts of different ways that admissions boards, you know, assess how people get in. You know, is their mom faking a rowing team situation? You know, there's lots of factors that go into it.
It makes sense. I think it makes sense that they take into consideration a lot of different things.
As long as they don't go, you get an extra 20 points on your SAT, then it's fine.
Right.
Yeah. And finally, this, are you having less fun in the bedroom? An estimated 3,788,235 people were born in the United States last year. That's a 2% decrease from 2017 and the fewest births in any year since 1986. People, we have to have more sex. There has to be more sex.
I was having this discussion yesterday with some of the millennials in the newsroom saying, what's going on with you people? And they said, student loans. We can't afford it.
Yeah,
well, that was their number one answer.
That's responsible.
Can't afford to have sex?
No, well, they can't afford to have children.
Kids. Oh, God.
Therefore, they hold off the sex, or they just are working so hard to pay off their student loans, they don't have time for it.
Well, birth control's not cheap, right?
Well, and from an economic standpoint, this is going to be a big deal, people. If we don't have people, if we don't have new people to come in, that's going to impact jobs, it's going to impact every part of our economy.
See, I am conflicted on this, because there's too many people in Chicago. And I think a few people have to leave.
That's because you just want parking spots.
I want parking, and I don't want to take forever to cross town. So
a billion people went to see Hamilton. We can't be losing that many.
They were from other places.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm conflicted. I understand the benefit, but then again, I can't take 20 minutes to get from here to, you know, the Kennedy. Come on. And by the way, here is where I am right now. We'll come back with Lou in a second. If you want to be Lou's first caller, you got issues at home, you got hails damage at home, whatever. 312-981-7200 is the number. You can be Lou's first caller next. That's your top six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Lou Manfredini, live at Channel 9, I assume?
Yes, I am.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, how are you?
How was your trip? In this morning.
Oh.
It's like, I have been traveling a lot. My trip in this morning was terrific. I was listening to the opening bell with Steve Grzanich.
Yeah, did you have any hail damage?
No, I park in the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we got any hail on the northwest side of the city.
Weird strip of severely severe weather. A lot of people got pounded.
Yeah, it is. I was listening to Orion talking this morning. I'm heading out to Elburn on Sunday for a Special Olympics event, and I hear it's just knee-deep water out there, and I just do not know what these farmers are going to do, as well as all the people with the flooded basements, and it's just a mess.
Yeah, there's the people that live
no
along
place
the
for
river.
The water to go.
Yeah, they got nothing. They got nothing. They got no place to hide because the river is under, you know, it's as bad as it's ever been, apparently.
Yeah.
And we wish we could do something for you, but all we can do is try to entertain you with intelligent commentary and some real stupid things, too. And you have what?
We have pumps on sale at the Ace.
Well, okay, good.
No, we don't, really.
No, you really don't?
They're not on sale, the full price.
Oh, that was a tease.
No. That was odd. What an odd thing to throw in.
It's like a Tourette's.
Come by Ace and pay the same amount.
Like a Tourette's thing. We have them in stock. That's important.
Yes, it is. Well, yeah, try to cover it now. 312-981-7200. Mark's and Carrie, we start there. Mark, you're the first caller. What does Mark want, Sandberg? What does he get for being the first caller?
You are going to get a desktop weather station.
Oh, is that where Tom Skilling stands on your desk?
Yeah, and it tells you the temperature, the time.
Oh,
you can go into different rooms and say it's too hot in here and have proof.
Okay.
And right. It's from American Weather Makers. I forget,
855-955-HVAC.
Thank you very much.
Well done by you.
The 60-minute man.
What's your troubles there, Mark?
Good morning. So my troubles today have to do with a septic field. So the house is about 20 years old. It's got well and septic, but the septic field is basically the backyard.
Right.
And the yard it's a kind of a gentle slope, and the house is kind of halfway down the slope. And it seems like the yard has settled over the years as part of the septic field. But the real thing I'm curious about is the yard is real lumpy, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if, you know, you can roll a yard to make it easier to walk on and make it a little smoother overall.
All right, so can he roll his yard? Can he flatten out his yard?
Can I flatten out a yard without damaging the septic field? All the way to the point of using a small steamroller.
Got it.
Yeah, no steamroller. That's too much weight. But what you can do is that you can rent a lawn roller, which is essentially a smooth 55-gallon drum that has a couple of bearings on it and a handle, almost like a wheelbarrow handle on it. Lawnmower handle, actually, because it comes together. And you fill that with water about halfway. So if you 8 pounds per gallon of water, you get about 25 gallons of water in there or so. And you can roll that out. But there'll be a combination of rolling and adding some topsoil. You know, the thing is, if it's a traditional septic field, that ground, as long as you're not having any problems, a lot of people with septics with all this rain that we spoke of just earlier is a problem because the percolation, the ability of the ground to absorb the waste coming from the plumbing system and the sludge tank is diminished because the ground is so saturated. And so adding some additional topsoil, and if that's all grass, some additional seed along with a lawn roller would probably be your best bet.
Did you notice how I have no follow-up questions for any commentary that involves the phrase septic field?
Right. I notice you're very silent. You're like, I don't want to talk about poopies this morning.
Did you see the text receipt from the 847? I don't want any pumps. Does the store stock Oxford?
Oh, very nice.
I think that's funny.
Yeah, you know, have you thought about expanding the shoes? 217, Lou, we have a tiled stand-up shower, and it leaks at the floor under the spout. The floor is sloped to the drain, but when you stand in the shower, water seems to pool against the wall where the leak is. Do I need to regrout, recaulk? Do I need a new shower pan? What, Lou? What do they need?
Yeah, if it's a low spot on a tiled floor, then you really have to take up that tile and have it re-sloped so it goes back towards the drain. There's no way you're going to mitigate that if it's just probably settled, and a good tile contractor could come in, kind of cut out that area depending on what the tile is, put some new mortar in there to reshape it, reset the tile, and patch it all in. It won't be perfect, you know, looking, depending on the age of the tile or what the style is, but you can repair it.
Okay, what about like Lego ramps just up against the wall?
No.
Well, yeah,
no, they don't hold water.
Well, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Let's see. Lou, what's the best way to remove coffee stains from a Corian sink?
The great thing about a Corian product is that the material is the same, the finish that you see is all the way through. You're actually going to sand it. I know this freaks people out, but if you take a green Scotch-Brite pad and you start using some elbow grease, just dry, that's it, only dry, and start doing in a circular motion around that, you'll sand that away and you'll smooth it all out. Especially for the white sink, it's easy to do. Just be careful around the chute of the drain, you know, the chrome or brass part of the drain that you have, so you don't scratch that. But a little bit of elbow grease back and forth, and you'll literally just sand it away.
We have a nematodes question. Are you taking nematodes questions?
That is a bug that's in, like, corn and soybean.
Said, need help with nematodes for my front lawn to combat grubs. What are you, plant nematodes? I'm not sure what they're asking here.
Yeah, plant nematodes. I would think, I mean, if it's in the lawn, you probably could get away with using, there's a product that Bayer makes that's a ultimate bug killer. There's also another product by Bonide called Bonide 8, mm-hmm. which is a really good product that you can apply to lawn and gardens to eliminate just about any kind of bug.
Sell that at Ace?
We do.
Lou, can tint creep be used for hairline cracks? What's it like? It's got to be with the hair. Can tint creep be used for hairline cracks in the patio? Looking for something that will not be so noticeable when the concrete gets
wet. Tintcrete is really a patching, so you could use it for hairline, but you know the real benefit of tintcrete is that it goes over. It's really better for spalling concrete where you've got sections that are out because you're going to smooth it all out. They do make a product for both new concrete and old concrete from a standpoint of the coloration. But for a little hairline crack, you'd probably be better off, in my opinion, with a concrete-colored caulking that you could put in there easily and then use your fingers, latex base, and kind of wipe it out, and that would blend in well.
Final question. Sorry if we didn't get to yours, but Lou talks too long. 815, Lou, there's a noise that my house makes every 15 to 20 seconds. Thunk, thunk. Please help. You think about that one, Lou, and get back to that person with their noise it makes every 15 seconds. You know what that probably is? The house I grew up in, there was a, it wasn't a furnace. It was probably the water heater, boiler system, and it would thunk.
It could be a water hammer in the boiler. It could be a water hammer in the hot water side. It could be the check valve of the sump pump.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was in a band called the Water Hammers.
You guys played the south part of...
The south.
What'd
you say?
In the south?
I have a sound like that when I turn the furnace on.
That's your knee.
Right.
When you turn the furnace on the first time?
No. Well, you know, it's like a shake, rattle, and hum. I don't know if it's the duct work kind of expanding and shrinking.
I mean, that a lot. Sometimes there can be an expansion of the duct work where you'll get a pop as it warms up. And, you know, in the basement, Dave, if any of the ductwork is exposed, what I've given the advice to people is if you take a broom handle, literally, and kind of push up and hold it to try and bend the metal a little bit as you turn it on. If that eliminates it, then sometimes you can do some shims with a little framing around there just to hold it. It's that metal that kind of can give you that pop.
Oh, okay.
And it can travel. That sound can travel throughout the home, and you're like, I hear it over here. But because it's connected to the metal ductwork, it could be happening, you know, 25 feet away.
Finally, new feature on the show every Friday when Lou's on. I'm going to ask you this. What's the coolest thing at Ace Hardware right now?
What's the coolest thing at Ace Hardware?
Something that make me pull off the road, stop, and get it.
Ooh, I wish. There's so much that we have there that's cool.
You want to debut this brand new feature next Friday?
Yeah, can I think about it? Because I can come up with cool stuff. That,
all right,
I mean,
completely blind. You owe me two cool things for next Friday.
Yes, sir.
All right, see you, buddy. Have a great weekend. And love you, Lou, too. You too. You, Lou. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Is the Alderman ready? Yes. All right. Alderman Matt O'Shea is scheduled to join us in his second year for an event. And then after 7 o'clock, my old pal Stedman Graham's going to be here.
I believe he's in the PP Paints
PPG Paints
right now. Yeah.
Well, I got to go say hi to him.
Yeah. I love a guest that comes early.
Yeah, and I feel bad. Stedman and I used to, casually hang out a little bit. And there was a period of time where I thought, well, I can't hang out with Stedman. I don't dress well enough. And then I thought, well, I'll never dress well enough. Right. So, you know.
Take me as I am. Is that what you said?
Right. Accept me for who I am. It's 6:46. Let me pick this up and talk to the alderman here. And good morning to you, Matt O'Shea.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
We're doing fine. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Tell everybody what Paint the Town Blue is.
Paint the Town Blue is our second annual campaign with the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation to support the men and women of the police department, putting their lives on the line each and every day while remembering those that we've lost.
And how many years have we done this?
This is our second annual. This is a Phil Klein project.
Well, Phil, as you know, has no shortage of energy and passion about these things. So let's start with the obvious. How do we help?
Well, during National Police Week this week, there are more than 65 businesses across the city that are involved with supporting this effort, many of which are out here on the southwest side, my 19th Ward community. Tonight, Phil and I will be at Barney Callahan's Pub at 106 18 Southwestern, guest bartending in support of the effort. And I'll tell you, Steve, trying to tend bar with Phil, he likes to do the blended drinks with the umbrellas and all that. And out here on the south side, we're kind of more of a shot and a beer thing.
Yeah, but yeah.
It can be tough after a while.
Well, I'm just glad to hear that you and Phil are at Barney Callahan's for a good reason and not just another Friday night.
Yeah, it really is a great cause, and we're looking forward to a big crowd supporting the Chicago Police Department.
And there's no shortage of people who believe it's the right thing to do, but I like when these sort of focused events come up because it really gives people something to do that they can wrap their heads around.
Absolutely, and we know it means so much to not only the men and women of the police department, but the families of our fallen officers, and we've seen too many of those.
How's Operation Help a Hero?
Operation Help a Hero, we're moving into our fifth year this year. As you know, Steve, just a few years ago, we had several thousand homeless veterans across the city, and there's been a very concerted effort led by the mayor. We have that number down significantly, but to just get them shelter, a roof over their head, isn't enough. The men and women that have served our country, the homeless, they need basic household items that you and I take for granted. Shampoo, combs, brushes, laundry detergent,
basic hygiene products, right?
That's what Operation Help a Hero is all about. From Memorial Day through 4th of July, we'll be collecting those items at more than 65 locations throughout the city. Every aldermanic ward office and 15 Chicago Park District locations. You know, we work in conjunction with the Jesse Brown VA Medical Center to help our veterans get back on their feet and be, you know, active parts of our communities.
And you can get a full list of things that they need and where you can bring them at cityofchicago.org/helpahero.
Very well done. All right, Matt, thanks for that. Alderman Matt O'Shea, now before I let you go, how are you feeling about the new mayor?
I'm excited. You know, Steve, 3 months ago, I did not know Lori Lightfoot. I really got to know her the last several weeks. Was active in the tail end of her campaign, which obviously was remarkably successful all across the city. I find her reasonable. I find her direct. And, she's ready to try to tackle these problems. And I'm just excited to be able to partner with her.
Would you agree that there's been some abuses of aldermanic prerogative that need to be addressed? I'm not talking about your ward. I'm talking about in general.
Yeah, well, since I've been alive, more than 30 aldermen have gone to prison, so that's obviously a concern. What we saw in this election was people want change, people want transparency, people want accountability, and that's what Mayor-elect Lightfoot has been talking about. And I look forward to working with her. And yes, we do need to see change.
Yeah, I don't want to make it too simple here, but if somebody calls your office and says, we got a stop sign on the corner that's bent, needs to be replaced, it's not safe, that ought to be easily done without running it through the red tape of the city over and over again and taking forever. But aldermanic prerogative goes farther than that. Is that my understanding?
I mean, what I think we're seeing is, Lori campaigned on this. And the people want to see this, And I think we can find a middle ground that we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's, but that we're shining a light on where there have been abuses in the past. I think many people are making more out of this than needs to be. If you're doing your job as an alderman, you're serving your community, you're holding community meetings, following up on issues, if you present that to a city department or you present that to the mayor, you're doing your job as an alderman. I think that's what this is more about, this aldermanic prerogative thing. It's when things are covered behind the scenes, and you're not provided information. That's where we get into problems. And if I could just finish with, you can't legislate bad behavior.
No, it either is or it isn't.
Right.
You want to say goodbye to the mayor? He was in here the other day, as he has been many times.
It's been an interesting 8 years with the mayor. He's accomplished a lot. When you see the financial mess that our city was in, that he inherited, and the difficult decisions he's made, and the leadership he's provided, I've really enjoyed working with him. I'll miss him. He's done a terrific job as our mayor, and even then, when we had disagreements, you always knew Rahm Emanuel cared about this city.
No question. No question, and I agree with what you said completely. Sandberg, the websites again for both issues?
cityofchicago.org/helpahero. Also, if you just type that in, you can get it. And then you can go to the 19th Ward. It's T-H-E, 19th, the numbers, ward.com. But again, if you type that in, paint the town blue in your Google, it comes right up.
All right, Alderman Matt O'Shea, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Good luck. Have a good weekend.
Good luck tonight.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
262, we love the Big Bang Theory series finale. We thought it was one of the best series finales we've ever seen. Watch the entire show every week, and definitely will miss it in the fall. This is a very good summation, I think. And again, it's not a show I watched often. Big Bang Theory finale was wonderful. The show hasn't been as good in the last couple of seasons, but they really went out with a bang. And the Big Bang season finale, this is 847, was great. It was one of the typical shows, like any finale. They didn't mash it up with any of the others. You fall in love with these characters. You don't rate it for the entire run. I thought it was great. Thanks for asking. So anyway, more and more of these, everybody seemed to love it. Wait, I found one that didn't. 773, the last episode was a disappointment, especially when one thinks of how much money each one of those actors has been making per episode. Well, you can't think that
no,
way.
No, you can't.
You got to
separate that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, Alvin, what's the name of the lead guy? It's not Alvin.
Sheldon.
Sheldon didn't actually win a co-Nobel Prize with his wife.
Oh, come
Whoa,
on.
Are you
no.
spoiling alerting?
You're spoiler alerting.
Well, as we learned,
I'm turning off now,
yesterday in 2011, somebody did a study and they said spoilers actually enhance your enjoyment.
Yeah. Right.
No.
And here's a bulletin. It was on last night. I loved the Big Bang Theory.
Steve was getting hit by hail last night.
Serious finale. That's true. He had to duck. It didn't get far-fetched and end on a crazy note. It was sweet and funny. It did what it should. Made me cry. But it's time for the show to end from April. Sad people liked it. And I didn't know Sheldon would lose his mind at the end. I mean, nobody knew that.
Stop it.
Yeah. And that's why the new show is Asylum.
Was there actually an actual bang at the end?
Yeah, that's where the explosion was that you heard. It's a minute before 7. We'll come back in just a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
7-Eleven. When I first came to town, one of the first people I met was a guest on the program was Stephen Graham. And I thought, well, there's a good dude. I said, there's a guy. Reminds me a lot of me. Handsome, tall. And Stephen said, we're nothing like each other. But I love Stephen.
Golf, though.
I love Stephen. I haven't seen him in too long. Good to see you, man.
You still playing golf?
Oh, yeah, of course I am. Are you kidding me?
Ooh.
Yeah. How's your game?
I haven't played in a long time, but it's okay.
You're too busy writing books.
I'm doing the best I can, Steve.
Let's talk about identity leadership for a second, because you got to know who you are to be able to lead people.
Yeah.
All right. So help me out.
Well, identity leadership is self-leadership based on the philosophy that you cannot lead anybody else, like you said, until you first lead yourself. So I created a 9-step success process that talks about how to create self-actualization in your own life, how to take information and make it relevant to who you are so you can be an effective leader and perform at the highest possible level based on being real and authentic.
It's part of the stuff you try to teach teens in one of your books, right? I mean, it's got some threads in there.
Yeah, well, if you can do it young, you know, if you know who you are.
And you can carry it through life.
Yeah, because in school you're memorizing, taking tests, repeat the information back, you get labeled with a grade, and 2 weeks later you forget the information.
So right.
If the information is not relevant to who you really are, you waste a lot of time, you come out with a degree, you don't have a job, you don't know what you want to do and where you want to go and how you're going to get there.
So in identity leadership, you want people to walk away with a better understanding of themselves?
Of self, right, which is self-mastery. We want to focus on not the external, not being defined by all the external things, but focusing on the internal so you're clear on what you should be doing in your life.
And you also got to ask yourself some tough questions sometimes. You know, do you have a vision? What's your vision? That kind of thing, right?
Right. Well, there's a process for that. So once you understand who you are, you have an identity, then you need a vision. To see where you're going, you need a plan, you need a value system, you need a dream team, you need all those things that support you based on who you are and where you're going.
Is this different world, aside from the obvious, is this a different business world than when you got in?
Yes, because 21st century is asking you to be a self-directed learner, a lifelong learner, and traditionally we're used to retirement, we're used to being comfortable and all of that. This is the you economy, so you better take charge of your own development, otherwise you're out. That represents about 6.9 billion people who are doing the same thing over and over and not thinking and not developing and not building.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because we were talking about this the other day off the air, and I can't even remember who the conversation was with, but guys our age, because we're both 40 now, guys our age, you can be frustrated with how things have changed. You can be frustrated with the gig economy. You could be frustrated with what technology has done and how things are different and people are different and people aren't looking at. Or you can understand this is the new world. So you better get in it. You better understand it. And you better play in that game.
You better control it.
Right?
You better control it. You better control your socioeconomic development. You better control your legacy. You better control your brand. You know, you got millions of, channels out there now. You know, it's hard to break through all the clutter, a lot of noise.
Right.
So you better control something.
So how many books for you now?
This is the 12th one.
12?
12.
Good God, man. Dave, have I even read 12 books?
I think you've read 13, but just barely.
That was close. You're still fired up to do this?
Oh, my goodness. I've dedicated my whole life to it.
The thing is, I like what you've done, you know, aside from the fact that I like it, you know that. Yeah, but I like what you've done in the way you've been able to separate these business messages in unique ways. You're not reteaching the same lessons, but you're taking good things you've tried to teach in the past, and you're bringing it through to the new project.
Well, what I understand that the process of success is the same. The difference is some people know it, some people don't. All I'm trying to do is teach people who do not know the process of success and how it works, and that represents about 99% of the people in the world who are struggling, to show them how to self-actualize their own potential, take control of their own development, learn how to take information, especially learning. Learn how to learn, read, develop, build, and create.
In taking responsibility for your own development, what if you are not able to recognize the areas that need the development?
That's why you have to have some help. That's why you have to be, your life has to be interrupted, disrupted, which is the new word today. Mm-hmm. So you can create your own system for success and then co-create with the system in place, because the system in place is not relevant to your empowerment.
Okay.
So do you need someone who knows you maybe even a little better than you know yourself to kick you in the tail, or is it something you can do on your own?
Well, it's self-discovery if you have the awareness, but most of us don't have the awareness because we're stuck in the box doing the same thing over and over every single day. It's called work. You know, so we have no awareness about self-development and self-empowerment.
Well, that's the thing I like about the book is you've kind of laid it out here, so I don't have to spend too much time online trying to find all these resources to try to figure out who I am.
Thank you, Steve.
I mean, that was the goal, right?
Thank you very much. That is it.
Yeah. Because otherwise, you know, I know how it works. You get on YouTube, suddenly you're watching other stuff. You take it at the TV. Oh, there's a Hogan's Heroes rerun I haven't seen. I mean, you know.
Oh, man. You get stuck on that technology. You'd be hypnotized. You get comfortable, and you don't do anything.
What are you doing for fun?
Fun. This is fun. I get to.
Well, I know that, but what are you doing for fun when you're having fun, Stephen?
Fun is golf.
Yeah.
You know, fun is you know, being home in Santa Barbara and spending time with Oprah. That's fun.
She's still asking about me all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going
to
be really.
Tell her I'll call. Tell her to just relax.
Really,
I'll call.
That I got a chance to be on the radio with you.
Did she miss it? The day to day.
She is doing what she wants to do, so she has control over her time, which
that's
is
what we all want.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really great, and she picks and chooses her projects. So come on,
Steb and I were talking in the office when we were strapping young men. Now that we're strapping slightly older than young men, we were talking. We're comparing grandkids. How about that?
That's pretty.
Would have thought we'd get to that point.
That's pretty special.
It's the greatest, right?
Oh, it's the greatest. Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
What do they call you, your grandkids?
Papa. Yeah,
Papa.
For me.
We got Pops over here. That's
Papa and Pops. That's pretty good.
Well, Pops, because obviously I'm a black entertainer.
Well,
you know, and as that, Pops fits me perfectly.
Oh, man.
All right, let's talk about something else you know a little bit about, hoops.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bulls. You love them. I love them. We all would like them to play better. How long do we as fans have to put up with a rebuild?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
You know what? Where's the vision for this
team? That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, you know,
we ought to get them a box of your books.
This is not a short-term game. This is a long-term
right?
game. So where are you going to be in 5 years?
Right.
You should have thought about that 5 years earlier.
Right.
You know, so what are you creating? I don't understand. You know, why not organize a structure that's going to win in 5 or 6 years?
Take your shot.
Yeah.
It just seems to me like we're going one step forward, two steps back.
It's short-term and it's long-term. There's nothing, you know, it's not a ready-mix situation.
Now, the game's changed some. When you were playing over in Europe, it wasn't the superstar game it is now, but we know the game. The game is you got to have a superstar or two or three. You can't build it with five guys that nobody knows and you know, have them run a box and one.
Stop having these players run around here looking for a championship. Stay in one place and build a team around you.
That's it.
You're the franchise, right?
Well, Dave's the franchise here.
But it is the game now. I mean, look at how much player movement there is and guys don't – I mean – Look, Steph Curry looks like he's going to be playing in his fifth straight NBA Finals.
Yeah,
but there aren't that many guys who are going to be in it for the long haul with one team.
Michael won six championships by staying in one place.
Yeah, you're right.
And by the way, it would have been nine if he hadn't taken those 3 years off.
Absolutely. So why would you want to just go all around looking for a championship? If you're a franchise player, build everything around you. And I'm not going to call any names, but you should have stayed where you're supposed to stay.
I was talking to Steve Kerr about this, and obviously Kerr played on those Bulls teams. And he said, yeah, I get a lot of credit for stuff I don't deserve. He said, it's not that hard. You get really talented people, you throw them the ball, and you get out of their way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make them happy, and you build everything around that, and you have some consistency, because now you got, like I said before, you have a million channels. It's about building the brand. It's about sustainability over a long period of time. It's not short term.
Isn't that crazy? It ties right back to the book. Build a brand, sustain the brand,
nine steps.
Work the brand.
Right, work for the brand.
You said that the education system here is we're teaching kids to be followers and not leaders. What do we do to change that part of it?
We're teaching them to be non-learners.
Oh, non-learners.
Non-learners, because everybody thinks it's about school. Not just about school. It's your ability to learn beyond school. It's the success is preparation. Success is when preparation meets opportunity. It's the prep word. Everything's about preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared for the marketplace? Are you prepared for a new job? Do you have any skills? What are your life skills? Are you relevant to the 21st century, as opposed to just saying, I want to be successful, I want to make a lot of money? You know, what have you done to prepare yourself for it?
Do you need, you know, a lot of kids get out of school now and they go, I don't know what I want to do. And you and I at 22, if we didn't have an idea at least a little bit, our dads would kick our tails.
Right.
You know, it's okay to figure it out as life goes on, and kids now are going to have 5-10 different jobs in some cases. But you have to have an interest. You got to have a certain interest and be open to the world, but at least have something you're chasing, don't you?
Today you have to have a career path. I mean, you all are in the communications industry, so you understand it. You understand the technology of it. You understand how it works. And so you at least can, if you lost your job here today, you can
go somewhere else. What do you know? Somebody talking to you again? The Stedman Graham show start Monday?
But you have skills. You understand it. So where's your career path? What do you focus on? Who do you want to become long term? And can you create a vision board around all the things that are relevant to your development?
Tell everybody the name of the book again.
Identity Leadership.
It's out and available everywhere. Get two or three copies. You're careless. You put one where you won't know where it is. Download three or four more. Before you go, there's a comfort zone piece you addressed in the book, which I think applies to a lot of things. Certainly the political mess we're in is people don't want to be given a world view. They want to hear what they want to hear. You know, the echo chamber thing.
Yeah.
It's really damaging in business, right? If you don't get out of your comfort zone.
Well, it goes back to self-awareness. You're not aware of anything. So you're in a zone that you're hardwired to think a certain way. You stay in that comfort zone, and somebody's got to shake you and tell you to get out of that. You got to be able to move today. Otherwise, the world is going faster and faster, and you can't keep up. And you're going backwards. The world is going forward. You're going to be replaced by machines, and pretty much your socioeconomic development is going to suffer.
Yeah, I mean, we have a very easy litmus test here. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, or in Dave's case at 2 o'clock in the morning because he's up trying to pee. You get up at that hour, you better want to come to work. Mm-hmm. And if you start getting up at that hour and you go, this is the last thing I want to do, get out. Yeah, get out, because it's over. But the same thing can apply to a 9-to-5. You 9-to-5 and you're bored going to work? Well, it's not the right job anymore.
Well, where are you going? Because the marketplace, again, is changing quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not relevant. You can't keep up because you don't learn anything. You don't pick up a book. You don't know where the marketplace is going. You don't stay on the cutting edge. The days of just sitting in a job for 20, 30 years, the same job, drawing the Social Security and a pension, is over.
Okay? Well said.
And so you need to be thinking about what your future is going to look like. And I'm not talking about just young people and middle-aged people. I'm talking about everybody.
Yeah, exactly right. Because old isn't old anymore.
No, you don't want to be 74 and out on the street.
Right.
You want to be able to figure out how you're going to sustain yourself. And they're going to keep you alive a long time because we have the medicine. So you may live to be 100.
Mm-hmm.
What's that look like? You better have a vision bigger than your circumstances.
I got to tell you, me at 100, I think sexy. I think that's what it looks like. I think sexy.
And listen, you'll still be at the radio at 100.
How about this view?
Come on. I mean, you got it made here. This is unbelievable. You used to be on the ground.
Right.
On the road.
Now I got a lake.
At everybody. Now
they put a lake in.
I just walked by there. Hey, Steve. How you doing,
yeah,
buddy?
You're tall, but you ain't this tall. 18th floor. It's great seeing you, man.
Thank you so much.
My best to your whole family, and obviously hi to Oprah and everybody, and safe travels.
Continued success to you.
And I know I can keep up with you on the golf course, but if you spotted me 16, could I beat you to 20 on the basketball court?
Oh, no. Well, you have it. You're all-around athlete. No question about it.
Have you seen him on the basketball court?
Here's what I got. I got a fadeaway 20-footer as long as you're not in the same area code as I am.
Oh, man.
All right, man. Nice seeing you.
Nice to see you.
Stedman Graham, get identity leadership.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
That's a cool story today. I mean, they're all good, all these MVPPs. But enjoy now meeting Michael Watson, today's most valuable person on the planet. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
Yes, you are doing pretty well. Here's the story on Michael. He's a teenager from Ohio, and a couple of years ago, you weren't feeling good. 6 feet 4 inches tall. What'd you weigh then?
Weighed 325.
And you were taking a lot of grief in school, I'm sure?
Yes, indeed.
Probably not feeling good about yourself?
No, not at all.
And you were 16, Michael, at the time?
I was.
Yeah.
All right. So the deal is, you said, enough. Enough. I got to feel better about me. And what'd you start doing?
I had to take it into my own hands and start exercising and eating less.
And how'd you exercise?
Oh, I walked to school, and it was about 3 miles there and back. It was a 20-minute walk there and back.
It wasn't a 20-minute walk first time you did it. 3 miles? I'm guessing it probably took you more like 45 minutes, and it got better every day, right?
Yeah.
So how much weight did you lose, or have you lost?
I lost 115 pounds.
That's incredible.
That's what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
Here's a guy at 16 that said, I'm not going to live like this. I'm going to live a long time, and I'm going to feel good.
Yeah.
Michael, prior to the, you starting that, had you done? Had you tried to do things to lose weight before?
I tried many diets before, and none of them seemed to work out until that one got me all the way through.
Now, are you a senior?
I am.
Have you graduated yet?
About to, May 29th.
How good is it going to feel walking across that stage and now showing off that new Michael frame?
I'm going to feel pretty amazing about it.
You should. I mean, you should be super proud of yourself, and it goes to what we've talked about on this show many times. Eat less, move more.
Yeah.
Find something that works for you, eat less, and move more. I mean, you just got to get started.
Yeah.
That's a good, and that's a lifestyle change. That's not a diet, so that's something that everybody can adopt. And you're inspiring other people, aren't you?
I guess I am. It's quite motivational.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I got three brothers.
Older, younger?
Two older, one younger.
Well, you're a great inspiration for the family, man.
Yeah.
God bless you, pal. I don't know what you plan on doing with your life. You going off to college?
No, I don't plan to go to college. I'm just trying to get a full-time job high school.
What do you think you want to do?
I did culinary during high school, I could get into the restaurant business. But, I mean, I'm open to do anything for the most part.
Are you a good cook?
I like to think I am.
Well, why not be a chef?
There you go.
Yeah, that's something I can do.
Chase that dream, buddy. You've already proved everything's possible.
I think one thing that I read that you said, Michael, that I think is really important is that over these past 2 years, you weren't always perfect, but you thought then every single day, well, today's a new day. So just if you hit a hiccup in your plan, not to let it derail you.
Yeah, that's what I went by when I did it, and that's how it kept me going for the most part.
So the kids that were bullying you, and by the way, just so people understand, you can be 6 feet 4 inches tall and still get bullied. And the kids that were bullying you, have they changed their ways now?
Most definitely. I mean, they're not calling me heavy anymore or fat. So.
Yeah, yeah. And any of them apologize, or it's not that kind of thing?
It's not, but, you know, you just get over it.
Right, because you're not going to let them negatively impact your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're killing it, man. Really, really happy for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Michael Watson, the pride of Ohio, 115 pounds lighter, and he's not done yet. Going to graduate in just a few days.
So, Michael, was your birthday last Wednesday, or is it next Wednesday?
It was last Wednesday. It was Wednesday. I just turned 18.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, and good luck, and I look forward to eating at your first restaurant.
I appreciate it.
Well, you'll be making nothing but healthy food.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Hold on, okay?
Okay.
It's Michael Watson. Nice kid, huh?
Oh, yeah, super Harry. Nice.
Here's one of the things that really inspired him. A classmate comes up to him, and Watson rubbed his chin. The boy said, no, you missed it. It's not the second one. It's the third one. And he said, you know, just stuff like that hurts. Say it to him every day. And at 6'4 and 335 pounds at 16 years old, I mean, that's no way to live life, right?
No, but good for him for deciding to do something constructive with, you know, that hurt.
No question about it.
Making a difference.
Yeah. And for people listening, you've got to, if you're a kid, you haven't gone to school yet, you're dealing with a weight issue, you know, food's not the answer. It's not. Trust me. I've been fighting that battle my whole life. Just get up, get moving, and you'll be amazed at how quickly you figure out you don't need that next snack and you don't need that next thing because you already ate.
And maybe a 20-minute walk to school wouldn't be a bad idea.
Right. Right. So that's good. That's a good kid. That's a good story. All right. 7:35. Headlines next. 7:20 WGN.
Why are we so blessed?
Well, we'll get to that later, Todd. First off, some predictions from the sports fans on today's game. Pat?
Bulls, 149-23.
Carl?
Bulls, 149-52.
Todd? Bulls, 402-0.
The Bulls.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who can set the court on fire? Only the Bulls keep us burning with desire.
7:46. Look, here's what we know. We know the Hawks are going to be okay. I don't have that kind of confidence about the Bulls.
Well, the Hawks were fortunate in the draft lottery.
Doesn't matter.
The Bulls were not.
Organizationally, the Hawks are set up to win.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
My concern is
yes,
the Bulls may not be. And here for expert analysis and further discussion of this is Connor Gibbs. Connor, you're going to be in sixth grade soon.
Yep.
Well, you got to wrap up fifth grade first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Connor, you're our resident basketball expert. And you've taught Mr. Ennett quite a bit, I think.
Yes, he has. I've learned a lot from Connor.
So, Connor, what is it about the Bulls that should give me confidence and make me think they're going to be okay?
So, in the draft lottery, they kind of... They kind of got screwed. The seventh pick.
That's a that's a fifth grade term.
Now it's a technical sports term, right? Kind of got screwed.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So, I saw on the TV that Steph Curry was actually the seventh pick in the draft.
So it can work out.
Yeah. So like, I guess you never know. Like, somewhat late in the draft, you never know who's going to be good.
Sure. But you want to play the odds. Hopefully, you can get a little higher, and they didn't have the roll of the dice. Who do you like on this current Bulls team that you would keep?
I'd definitely keep Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
I'd trade Chris Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably keep Otto Porter, Lauri Markkanen, and I'd probably trade Wendell Carter Jr.
So basically, you're in the same spot I'm in because I've learned so much from you. Out of 12 guys, you'd keep three. Maybe four.
Yeah, sure.
I'm curious why you would trade Carter. We didn't really see a full season from him yet, and he was the seventh pick in the NBA.
Connor's done with him. Done!
I know, apparently, but what did he do to you?
I don't know. I just don't see him being a good player.
So who in the NBA that could be available would you go, man, I'd love if the Bulls had this guy?
Well, it would be really cool if the Bulls got Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they probably just need a point guard, like Kemba Walker. That'd be kind of cool.
Can you believe how much these guys make?
Yeah. It's
like, insane. Do you get an allowance?
Yeah.
So you have to do chores and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, what's a chore you have to do?
I don't know, like take my dog on a walk.
Right, because you said you'd take care of the dog when you got the dog, that kind of thing? Yeah, and mom ends up taking care of the dog, is that kind of the deal? Pretty much?
My dad.
Oh, dad does, okay.
Oh, yeah, mom doesn't do those kind of things.
All right, so how much is your allowance? What do you get?
I usually get like $10.
All right, so $10 is pretty good,
mm-hmm.
But that's not an NBA salary, is it?
Mm-mm.
12th guy on the bench is making what's the minimum now? Is it $4 million?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think what it is. I'll check it.
It's many millions.
It's got to be at least that.
Many millions to be the guy that never plays.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But we were talking to Stedman Graham, a previous guest, about this because he played pro ball in Europe too. And that is that, in the NBA, it's a superstar league.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a big star. So you think the Bulls will go out and invest this summer?
They already have, like, Zach LaVine. Like, they could build a team around him and Otto Porter. So, like, I don't think they would need Kyrie Irving.
But it'd be cool if we had him.
It'd be cool, but I want to get Kemba Walker.
Okay. Sandberg?
We were talking about superstars, and your guy Giannis is doing a great job. I know.
That's the Greek freak.
The great,
yeah.
And he. The big question is if he would stay in Milwaukee or not stay in Milwaukee. And I know he wants to. He wants to win. That's what he wants to do.
Well, he may well do it in Milwaukee, but Chicago's cooler.
Chicago is.
And we have a lot of listeners in Milwaukee, but they know that. That's why they come to Chicago.
That's why they come here. That's why all those people came and saw Hamilton the next 3 years.
Right, a billion people. Yeah, exactly. Are you going to play a little basketball this summer?
Yeah.
Just shooting around with your buddies, or I heard maybe a camp.
Oh yeah, I'm going to Notre Dame basketball camp.
Oh, how great is that?
That'll be a lot.
You done
fun.
That before?
No, this is my first year.
It's unbelievable.
Well, that's because you won that championship or whatever, you know, so you can roll that into a camp. All right, so you're watching the playoffs now.
Yes.
And do you have any feel for what's going on? Steve is worried that the wrong teams are going to end up in the final, and then no one's going to care.
Looks like Golden State's taking care of that concern for me.
Right.
They're up 2-0. Who's going to win in the East?
I think it'll definitely go to a Game 7, and then the Game 7 will be close. But in home, Milwaukee will win.
Milwaukee, Golden State. How about that?
We have a friend of the show. His name is John Steinmiller, and he's a huge Milwaukee Bucks fan.
Is he really?
Yeah, his dad works for the team, and he's been at every single game. I think he might combust if Milwaukee goes to the final.
The Milwaukee Bucks, when I was a kid, there was a decade called the 70s where dinosaurs roamed the earth, Connor. And the Milwaukee Bucks at that point had, early on in the 70s, they had a player named Lou Alcindor.
Yeah.
And Lou Alcindor was a 7-footer out of UCLA who eventually would change his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
And he had a sky hook and stuff. And I believe I'm right about this. That's the last time the Bucks were in the final, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So did you
think twice with Abdul-Jabbar? or Alcindor.
Right.
And this would be the first time since then.
Did you do some research on the bottom?
Yeah, the minimum, it was actually a lot lower.
What?
Because, remember, they also have those 10-day contracts. Oh, and they have those two-way contracts with the G League.
I'm on a 10-day contract.
You have a lot of guys making under $1 million.
Well, but that's why the Bulls are in trouble. I'm on a 10-day contract right now with the Bulls.
Better than being on one here.
The agreement is I stay out of a tank top and off the court.
Yeah. So, Connor, you have a brother. You have a little brother, yes. Luke. And can you imagine playing against your brother in games like Steph and Seth are playing in?
Yeah, that would be insane. Like, playing against your brother.
And the parents, they flip a coin as to who's going to wear which, you know, which brother they're going to cheer for.
Yeah, I heard Del Curry, Seth, and Steph's dad, he was saying like it's the worst because like he doesn't know who to cheer for. He doesn't want to cheer against any of his sons.
Yeah. And then so you hope they both do well.
Yeah, and then Steph Curry got interviewed and he said that it was just like a blessing to have like both of their brothers this far in the playoffs.
You know, it's easier for Steph to say that after his team wins.
It is a blessing. They do seem like they're good people though. Yeah. I think that
it's
that's
good family.
Yeah.
Who would cheer louder? Your mom or your dad?
I would say my mom.
Yeah, because your dad's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be cheering inside super loud, but on the outside, he'd maybe a fist bump. Mm-hmm. That's what you get. And who would get louder cheers, you or your brother?
Me.
Yeah. So I like that confidence.
Well, you've been playing longer, so.
Yeah, I like that confidence. Yeah. Connor Gibbs. Connor, it's always great to see you. What's the big plan for today?
I don't know. Just we have school. Mm-hmm. Oh, my sister. So for our school, we have like a student council thing. It's like treasurer, secretary, vice president,
yeah,
and
sure.
president.
Yeah, politics.
And my sister's running for vice president, so her speech is today.
And you have to go?
Yeah, but I might be a little bit late.
Are you going to heckle her?
Yeah.
No, don't heckle her. It's your sister. Connor, it's great seeing you. And Dave, you get the last question.
Just one note on the Curry brothers. Steph is making $37 million, and Seth is making... $2.7 million.
It's a little. I'd still take the 2.7. I'd be okay with that. But.
Yeah, you would be okay with that. But I don't think you told us what the Bulls should do with the 7th pick.
Well, so the top 6 people are probably like so: Zion, RJ Barrett, Ja Morant, Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter, and Jarrett Culver.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think the Bulls will get Coby White from North Carolina.
Right.
Because he's like a point guard. I don't want them to get him.
You don't?
I think the Suns will end up getting him. And then the Bulls could get Jarrett Culver, which would be a pretty good pick for them.
Jarrett Culver is who?
He's on Texas Tech.
Is he a big guy?
He's like a small forward, I think.
You watched him in the Final Four a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in the championship game.
Is this all on your mock draft board?
So,
because you spit that out pretty quick. I mean, obviously you've thought about this.
Yeah, I think Zion will definitely go to the Pelicans, and then Ja Morant will go to the Grizzlies.
We got to get him ConnorGibbs.com, don't we?
I know, it's really impressive.
Lay that out. You want to say hi to anybody?
My mom, my dad, my brother.
That's the first time I met your mom. She couldn't be nicer.
Yeah.
How great is it that she came down and did all this and you slept in the car?
Just all my family, my grandpa for taking me to games.
Yeah, your grandpa's probably a good dude, huh?
Yeah.
Bob.
All right, Connor Gibbs, we need your advice, we need your counsel, we need your expertise, so we'll be bothering you again throughout the summer.
Okay.
All right. Nice to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too.
All right. It's Connor Gibbs. Going to be a sixth grader soon. Hey, you remember sixth grade, Dave?
They didn't have sixth grade. They only went up to fifth.
It just went to fifth? That was it for you?
They hadn't invented it yet.
I forgot to tell you, Steve, that Dean Richards is not joining us until like 8:20.
Oh, so you got something going
He's
on?
He's got a TV time? Interview, yes. I forgot to.
That doesn't seem that important. More on entertainment coming up then at 8:20. And Billy Deck. Billy's just a great Chicago story. You know anybody that markets harder than Billy Deck?
Nope.
He's everywhere. Billy Bean, it's the 10th anniversary of Sunda. My sister takes me to Sunda, and I'm 58 years old. It's literally the only time I ever let anybody order food for me. It's not like I don't know how to eat out. I've been doing it my whole life. Well, that's not true, since I left the house. But I don't know sushi very well, and she orders sushi, and it's always a home run.
Their food is so good.
Sunda's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The latest edition of the Steve Cochran Everything podcast is at WGNradio.com/Cochran. Or you can go to the WGN Radio app. Ross Cochran was my guest this week. He interviewed me. That was part two. Now, you're demanding a part three?
I am demanding a part three because you guys did not cover your movie career.
Yes, and quite a career.
And I want to know what you did to the movie industry to not go back since 1990, whatever.
We had a breakup. Yeah, it was 94 was the last one. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Oh, by the way, Monday, Dr. Kevin Most, how much coffee is too much coffee? That's Monday.
I got to take Monday off. I can't be here for this.
How many cups do you drink?
I don't really drink that much. I bring my big...
It's one of those deals where you just fill it up and you don't know how much you're drinking?
No, but this is pretty much it for me. I bring my cup every morning.
That's fine.
And occasionally I'll get a little warm up, but that's all. I'm not drinking coffee for 8 hours a day like a lot of people.
So that jittery, snappy thing you do after the show where you throw things and yell at people, that's not because of the coffee?
That's just my personality.
Oh, okay. News next. Stand by for that. As a grown man, can you tell another man, I love you? Dave, you and I grew up in a time where men didn't tell other men they loved them.
Nope.
The story of the relationship of Spike Odell and Dave Innit.
No, I like Spike.
I love Spike.
Well, but it's different to say it to you that I love Spike than to say it to Spike.
Spike right here right now, I'd tell him I love him. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning. Do you love me, Dave?
What am I going to say now? Spike, I love you.
I love you, too.
Spike, I love you.
I love you.
See?
I love both Marys.
Thank you. Know.
Everybody, I love you.
Love you, Spike.
I love you, Spike.
Blues Band. Get that song out. Ooh, I love you.
Oh, man. Drinking the hummingbird juice.
How great is Spike? You get a sense Spike still does his show, but this one's only in his head?
Yeah.
It's 8:16. We'll get to Dean and more on entertainment coming up. He's wrapping up an interview with Common on TV. So it's Friday. And, you know, we spend a lot of time during the week trying to find things that are interesting or funny or annoying to you. And Friday, I mean, you know, normally I'm pretty much out at this time. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take one phone call.
Okay.
312-981-7200. Anything you want to talk about, anything you want to ask about, anything you want to say. 312-981-7200. Just give me one phone call, Joe. And I'll take that in just a second.
Let me just tell you this. Sad news in the cat world. A grumpy cat, he passed away at age 7.
I heard Steve talking about this. It seems like longer than 7 years ago that was a thing.
Oh, it's a her. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. She had 1.5 million followers on Instagram.
That's more than me.
The Twitter account this morning, the post that announced this said, some days are grumpier than others. Announcing the cat's death.
Why does it seem like it was longer ago than 7 years?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe because it irritates you, so it felt longer.
Does it irritate you?
Because a cat has 9 lives.
Yeah, and Steve is not the biggest cat person.
Well, if people have 9 lives, I've used up about 4 of them.
Was Grumpy Cat in one of those pistachio commercials? Remember when everyone was the pistachio commercials?
I think
Grumpy Cat used to be in one of those pistachios.
Yeah, Super Bowl spot.
Also, there's another story that I don't know that Dean's going to touch on. Did you hear the rumors that Drake underwent surgery to get a six-pack?
Really?
What?
I didn't know you could do that.
Why don't you just get a tattoo?
You can get six-pack surgery?
Did you just hear Grzanich? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I know somebody that's done it.
What?
Yep.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's sculpting. It's body sculpting through plastic surgery.
So wait. So you got to
be. I know they have the cool scope.
How much does that cost?
You got to. I know. I said I'd take one call. Now I can't take the call because I got to find out about this. You have to be in decent shape to do surgery to find your abs, don't you?
You have to be. Yeah, you cannot be overweight when you have this surgery. I mean, you have to be skinny enough, and then they go in and create these contours and. Do this. I mean, it's really scary the way that they do it, but the end result is pretty impressive when you see it.
Sounds painful.
Yeah. Steve Grzanich knows a lot of things. I did not know that he was going to be the one with the information on the ab surgery.
He used to be a surgeon.
Yeah, I know somebody that ended up being laid up for almost 6 months after having this.
Yeah.
Couldn't go out in the sun at all during the summer. Had to wait for it all to heal.
Well, and that's the point, too, to show off your six-pack. Oh, well.
Are there other types of plastic surgery that I'm not aware of? I'd never heard of that.
Well, I know you know this. Ian Poulter, the golfer, he does the cool sculpting because he promotes it heavy on his Instagram, like for his double chin.
Well, and also he doesn't talk about it. Love handles.
Because, no, he's doing it for them, though. He goes shirtless in the Instagram.
Right, because certain guys have a bigger love handle problem than others, including skinny guys. Like, skinny guys
skinny,
can have
skinny
guys can have love handles, and he doesn't want the love handles.
So the answer to your question, Steve, is yes, there are other surgeries. You can have calf implants as a man to make you to have more muscular calves.
Right.
You can also,
or you could do leg ups.
You can do breast implants to make your pecs look more formed and muscular.
I think I'm fine there. I mean, I'm a full A cup.
I feel like bodybuilders just do these instead of actually doing the work.
And you can, I don't know. I can look at somebody's body and tell that they've had.
When I've seen the plastic surgery show, I forget what it's called on E. These people usually are.
What the hell were they thinking, Joe?
Yeah, they look pretty perfect to you and I, but they want something bigger. Their body just can't produce those calves, so they.
Are you talking about botched? Plastic surgery show that screwed things up?
There was one where they didn't get screwed up. I forget what that one was called that I used to watch.
Look, you spend your money on anything you want to spend your money on, but I've seen way too many people, especially in show business, I mean, just fall down beautiful women who have decided they don't like the fine lines around their eyes and they end up looking not so beautiful anymore. I mean, you know, look, everybody gets old.
Yeah.
And you can ride it out, or you could try to surgery it up in a different way, but you're not fooling anybody.
The show is Dr. 90210. Super Joe coming in with that information. Thank you.
The thing about six-pack abs, this is a genetic thing. You can work as hard as you want to try to get some of that, but I could be wrong here. I think if you don't have like the genetic disposition for this, you're never going to have that.
Well, let's ask Dave. That's probably true. He's the only one on the show with a six-pack abs.
Dave? I've got a four-pack.
I know. I think you can at least develop some definition.
And that's true.
I mean, it's all about core strength, right? I mean, Mary, you're an advocate of that.
Yeah, it is your core, and I think it's all what you eat.
Yeah.
Well, nutrition is definitely part of it, sure, without a doubt. But I have, great calves, and their not implants are natural. A lot of people.
Well, that's your thing.
A lot of people thought I had silicone implants in my calves.
Is that what they say on the golf course?
815, I like to joke with my wife for her to stop looking at my no cups. 312-981-7200, anytime. Sorry I didn't take the one phone call I promised to take, but when Steve told me that, I was thrown. We'll come back with Dean in just a second with more on entertainment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's an abbreviated edition of Moron Entertainment.
Woo-hoo!
I started a rumor a second ago. I said, Dean will be with us in a second, but the Common interview didn't end well, and you guys were having a fight in the hallway.
It turned out to be very uncommon. He's the nicest guy.
He's the best.
And this new book that he's got that's called Let Love Have the Last Word, where he reveals, he turns himself inside out and reveals personal things about his life of being molested as a young man, having held it in and only just dealt with it not long ago.
And now he's talking about it, which helps others.
Going into therapy of... bad relationships that he was the cause of, that, you know, he just felt like he wasn't prepared to be serious about relationships. It's very, very interesting.
And you get older, you can own some of that stuff, so good for him for doing it. By the way, Let Love Have the Last Word reminds me, Bridget Gaynor normally joins us on Friday, and she was unavailable today.
She's unavailable the next couple weeks. On Fridays, she's going to join us a couple Tuesdays. We'll let you know when they are.
And Bridget's mom was in here last week, Dean, on the Mother's Day thing.
Yes, Geraldine.
Yeah, and she said, you know this thing where people say don't go to bed angry? It's ridiculous. Go to bed angry.
Right. She said sometimes you just need some sleep. And when you wake up, sleep.
Yeah. Forget what you're arguing about.
Yeah. I totally agree with that statement.
I do too, Mary. Let's not talk it out.
34 years.
To death.
Totally. Yeah.
My dad used to say, the greatest advice I can give you is don't go to bed angry. But I can remember countless times when he would take his belt off if we might be misbehaving that contradict that theory that he had.
Yeah, and look, to hear two grown women say, I agree, just go to sleep, is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Because you know how many times that there's been conversations that have gone on until midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a police department breaking down somebody for a confession. Finally, I just go, all right, I was wrong!
Yeah. Well, you might
maybe
be.
Maybe I should try that then.
Yeah.
By the way, that's never happened with Maureen.
Yeah, oh. I think. Well, and you, I could just see you being a little difficult. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I have been told I'm fun to argue with, yeah. And I don't mean fun. Is there a movie we ought to see this weekend?
There is. Well, there are some movies. I don't know if you should go see them up there.
Okay, all right.
John Wick 3, the Keanu Reeves movie.
I haven't seen any of them.
If you love just one fight scene after another, fight, stabbing, gouging, shooting.
Sounds like the old loop in the hallways.
That's all this movie is. There's very little story. I didn't count, but I'm going to guess that Keanu Reeves maybe has 10 words that he says in this whole movie.
Is one of them, whoa.
I need more guns.
Right, right.
Everything else is just guns and shooting. It's beautifully choreographed. I will give it that much. But after a while, it's like, okay, I get it. You kill everybody. Gave it a Dean's List C+. This Dog's Journey movie is out. You know, if you're a dog lover, be prepared to shed some tears. It's very sweet. And a millennial romance movie called The Sun is also a star. About two, you know, a couple that they meet the next day, Steve. She and her family are getting deported. So there's a little immigration, you know, controversy that goes with this. But how do you fall madly in love in one day? How do you resolve that in a day? That's what that movie is.
Well, that's why I watched The Bachelor, because at least I know the truth.
Right.
You know, that's,
you know,
true,
funny,
love.
Dean, you mentioned that dog movie. My sister's dog, Biscuit, passed away last Thursday. He had cancer for a year, so they got a good year out of him. But it's really sad, and she wants to see that movie, and I'm like,
well, that's a bad idea.
She's going to be a basket case.
Right, that's you cannot,
gonna be,
right? Yeah,
she's going to be a mess. But, I mean, this is, doesn't spoil the movie. The point of this movie is that this dog gets, you know, dies and gets reincarnated into other dogs to fulfill its mission of taking care of the little girl that he grew up with. So there's sort of this hopeful, you know, your dog really never goes away, but comes back in another form. But yeah, she's going to be,
she's going to need some time, I think. Maybe watch that later.
Open wailing if she goes to see this. Might be a little too soon for that. Yeah. Did you, anyone watch the last Big Bang Theory?
Yeah,
last
I did.
I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was understated in a right way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I did not know all the cast members would die in a bank robbery, you know, in a gunfight. I mean, I didn't see that coming.
Bazinga.
No, I it was good.
I enjoyed it. I got a little teary at one point.
Yeah. It's not top 10 greatest finales of all time, but
no,
it was right.
No, but I've enjoyed this show, so it was a lovely way to say goodbye.
And did you hear that Crappy Cat died? What's that cat's name?
Grumpy Cat.
Crappy Cat. Grumpy Cat died.
Grumpy Cat's only 7 years old.
With the drugs or what happened?
No, actually had a UTI, a urinary tract infection. The cat had a urine.
Untreated?
Well, apparently there were some complications.
Well, that's not funny.
Maybe that's why he was grumpy all this whole
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Comfortable he must have been.
Yeah.
I don't know. By the way, is Grumpy Cat a he or a she?
I don't know. I never looked closely enough.
It's a she. We confirmed.
Okay. And David Letterman's, my next guest needs no introduction on Netflix. He's out promoting the next season.
May 30th or something like that. Right at the end of the month, they're going to start. They're going to put them all out at the same time instead of once a month like they did last season.
And he keeps putting out the same line over and over again. I know he believes this because he's never liked himself. But he said, the mistake I made is I stayed on TV way too long and nobody had the guts to fire me. He told Ellen that yesterday. I know he told Howard Stern that. He's told other people that. I disagree. I miss Letterman, and and I'd still watch him.
Me too.
And I don't know if he had the beard, I probably wouldn't watch him as much.
That's why I can't wait to see the series. There, I saw an ad for the series, and it's just a close-up of the beard. You don't even see his eyes or his nose. It's just the beard. It says, Dave is back. The beard is big. The show is bigger.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And those Netflix guys that are getting it done with original stuff, I mean, that's the place right now.
They have not announced who he will be speaking to. These are, each episode is 1 hour with one person that he admires. So they have not announced who the guests are going to be.
I'm told Steve Dale's got a shot.
Yeah, it's very possible. Dave loved, you know, he's always loved stupid animal tricks.
Right. Right, and that would be Steve's forte.
Right.
By the way, this conversation, how many people do you think are driving to work right now going, how about you two been sticking around too long? How about you two get out?
Well, that goes without saying. We readily admit that, and we intend on talking about that when we get invited on Letterman's series.
Right, right. He should do a more on entertainment segment.
Yeah.
Are you on the radio Sunday?
I'm going to be not on the radio on Sunday because I'm going to be in London, England. I'm leaving today to go to the world premiere of the new Elton John movie, Rocket Man. So I'm going to go see that. I'm going to interview the whole cast and also Mr. Sir Elton John himself.
Oh, you're talking Elton John?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we'll have that.
Your friend Jim Toronto, is he freaking out that you're talking Elton John?
He's a little mad that I did not invite him to come along to be my plus one, as he keeps putting it.
Right, but he doesn't get to. But he didn't get invited anywhere. Why would this be different?
Yeah, it should be right at home. By now, he should know that that's never going to happen in a million years.
But the biggest Elton John fan on the planet.
He's seen, I think, almost 200 yep. Elton John shows. Yeah. So, but anyway, I'm going to talk to you for more on entertainment Monday live from London.
You gotta let me know where you are, because it'd be cool if Paul Coit walked in on you.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, who knows, maybe you're in the same studios. Paul does a thing on a radio station there, or a network there, called Talk Sport 2, if you want to be up at midnight and you want to hear a show with the time change. Sambert?
Who wouldn't?
Dean, I just wanted to say, the David Letterman, they did say that it's going to be Kanye West, Ellen DeGeneres, Tiffany Haddish. Is that how you say that?
Tiffany Haddish, really?
Tiffany Haddish.
Lewis Hamilton and
Melinda Gates. Tiffany Haddish?
Yeah.
That's way too soon for that.
And Lewis Hamilton, Melinda Gates.
Lewis Hamilton.
Tiffany Haddish needs to take like a year off.
Melinda Gates, I get. Tiffany
who,
Haddish.
Who Alexander Hamilton?
Yes.
What? Who's Lewis Hamilton?
I don't know.
Well, that's the point.
I know.
None of us know. Texter says, Dean, good luck in England.
An MBE British racing driver?
Oh, for Letterman's big time into
it. Yeah. Yeah, he loves the cars.
He's got a race team. You know what we should do is go down to the Indy 500. Letterman and Ray Hall,
yeah,
Bobby Ray Hall, they've got a team, and they've invited me, and that would also include you, to come down there sometime.
Yeah, and the Ray Hall boys invited me as well, so yeah, we could both get in legitimately. Yeah, that's the weird part.
Yeah, that would be fun to hang out like we know anything about that. We should drive up in a Chevelle.
And how good would we look in the racing jackets?
Oh, huh? That's...
Come on.
I can't say how handsome we'd look.
Have a safe trip. Tell Elton John we said hi.
Cheerio.
See ya. That's Dean. We are back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show, and welcoming into the studio one of our great partners, Fifth Third Bank. Eric Smith is the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer for Fifth Third Bank Chicago. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks
nice to see
for
you.
Having us.
When did you start in banking?
I started my career in banking right after undergraduate school in 1991.
What was your first job?
It was as an analyst at Merrill Lynch and Public Finance, covering hospitals.
That seems like a pretty good first job.
It was.
And now you're running a large chunk of this enterprise, and Fifth Third Bank is how big now?
We are $30 billion in assets, and we'll have over 200 branches across the Chicagoland area. We'll become the second largest bank here in Chicago with over 3,000 employees.
And for people that don't know where Fifth Third came from, the name?
Well, it came from the merger of Fifth Bank and Third Bank over 160 years ago in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Right. Can you imagine that? The bank in Cincinnati is now the second biggest bank in the country. That's a pretty good story.
Yeah, it's pretty. That is. You mentioned that you, after your undergrad, did you go right into your MBA?
No, I worked for 2 years on Wall Street first.
And then he went to Harvard, Steve, for the MBA.
Well, so far our stories are very similar. Eric, you have kids?
I have two beautiful daughters, 17 and 18. My oldest daughter just came home from her first year of college at Spelman in Atlanta.
Oh. Wow, great. What's she going to do? Does she know?
Well, surprisingly, she's going to do an internship in investment banking at William Blair this summer.
So do you find yourself having difficulty holding back with providing the advice because you know she's got to find out stuff on her own?
I have made a conscious decision not to provide a lot of advice, because if you tell kids to go left, they'll automatically go right.
Right. Right.
Did she come by financial interest on her own, or did you steer her in that? Because women in finance is really needed and important.
She actually came by that a little bit on her own. My wife actually attended Spelman College and was an econ major, and so she's following in her mom's footsteps by being an econ major. But I think she naturally kind of enjoys it, and we're really proud of her.
No kidding. Yeah. What's your wife do now?
My wife runs community affairs for AppV, and she enjoys her role of giving back to the community. And she took some time off after graduate school.
Sure.
We met there, and she enjoys being a mom and a working mom at that.
Yeah, you're a real family of slouches, I guess. You know, you guys get pitched a lot of ideas and things to partner with. Why did you decide to back Bike the Draft?
Well, we really believe that companies are only as strong as the communities that they serve, and I think Bike the Drive is such a unique opportunity to bring people from all different communities across Chicago together for a really fun and unique experience.
Right. And also joining us in studio to talk about Bike the Drive is one of the great smiles I think we've seen in the studio in quite some
right.
time.
We've got Claire McDermott from Active Transportation Alliance.
And tell us what Active Transportation Alliance is.
We are an advocacy organization. We work to improve conditions for people to ride bikes, walk, or use public transit.
And how'd you get in that business?
I was a avid bike commuter. I used to work down in the Leo Burnett building for those guys and started...
Because we have too many cars. More bikes,
too
less
many cars. Too many cars,
yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, I really loved cycling to work and thought, geez, how can I do this for a living and kind of try and find a good organization that did this type of work and came across Active Transportation Alliance, and here we are.
And what's a typical client for you? For Active Transportation Alliance, like someone who struggles with walking or...
Oh, it really runs the gamut. One of our biggest sort of achievements over the past 30 years, we say it's the long game, but obviously we now have this beautiful separated lakefront trail.
Yep.
So that was a huge project for us. We're very happy to see that come to completion, and obviously the flyover that we have. But then, of course, we also do a lot with public transit. So the Loop Link is another project that we were so happy to see come together.
It's funny that he mentioned, she mentioned that bike path. The mayor was in just the other day, mm-hmm. and he was talking. He had just written, because he's going to ride around Lake Michigan, and so he did 27 miles before he came in here. And he said,
because he's annoying like that,
he can't believe we got by without having that path. He just can't, you know, now that it's done, he can't imagine that we ever didn't.
Well, you drive up Lakeshore Drive on a nice day, and it looks like, you know, Michigan Avenue in the summertime because there's that many people running. We need more active space for people to be active.
Exactly. And places where people feel comfortable, too, to ride bikes certainly is very important. So, you know, we're just really excited to be here, obviously, with Fifth Third. And their support of our event really helps to make our work possible. So we're very grateful.
This handsome devil over here, Dave Ennett. He is doing Bike the Drive again this year. How many years have you done this?
This is just my second time.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I was out of town last year for a wedding on Memorial Day weekend, and I was really disappointed because it's such a fun event, and I didn't know what to expect the first time I did it, but it's just a great way to see the city, and I'm not somebody who bikes all the time, but I really I can't stress enough what a fun event it is. And the thing I think, Claire, that you mentioned is that it's not a race, because people have this idea, well, I got to be one of the guys in breaking away, and it's not like that. It's
for fun.
Now, there are people who take it pretty seriously.
Dave Ennett, the most competitive person on the planet.
Right.
You know. I'm not racing.
He also dropped his phone the last time he did
that. Well, I'm not going to make that mistake again.
Well, the weird part is that, I've not done it, but I've been on Lakeshore Drive when it shut down. Lakeshore Drive closed down is so weird.
Yeah.
It's like you just went, okay, it's my city. I own it. Now let's get mm-hmm. my bike and let's roll.
It's a beautiful experience. You know, the birds are chirping. It's so quiet, so you can really hear the waves lapping.
Right.
And, of course, with the backdrop of the skyline, it's just a beautiful morning.
You know what? Since we're talking about it, I'm going to give away a pair of registrations to the Fifth Third Bank Bike the Drive. Fifth Third Bank Bike the Drive. It only happens once a year on Sunday, May 26th. You can cycle on a car-free Lakeshore Drive. Then come to the Post Ride Festival in Butler Field. Go to 53bikethedrive.org and use code 53SAVE3 to get $3 off your registration. But the seventh caller is going to get a pair of registrations now.
All right, a couple of minutes left for these guys when we come back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle.
All right, stand by, because Dave is going to give you tips on how to bike the drive. Grease your gears and stuff.
Eric, good to know.
Eric Smith, Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer, Fifth Third Bank Chicago. And We are the Blackhawks flagship, and you guys, of course, have the Fifth Third Arena, which, have you gone over there much?
I did. We had a grand opening just last week. And
it's ridiculous.
It's a beautiful facility. One of the things that's really exciting about it is that we get to use it for community outreach,
yep.
Activities with kids, in addition to supporting our iconic Blackhawks team.
Yeah, I know you know this, but you'll find the Blackhawks are great partners.
Yes.
And there's a real commitment
absolutely.
To the West Side in particular. I mean, kids have never even be exposed to hockey.
Yeah.
I know that that part of the place is cool, the rinks and the training facility and all that, but the kitchen is the most amazing kitchen I've ever seen. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Well, you got to feed a bunch of Canadians,
yeah,
right? Claire McDermott's here from the Active Transportation Alliance. You got a website you want to plug?
Of course.
What is it?
53bikethedrive.org.
Okay, and it links up with Active Transportation Alliance as well?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, so what do we need to know? What do we need to know? For instance, this is your first bike to drive, right?
Yes.
All right. So
and he said he's dusting off a bike. He doesn't ride the bike every single day, so he's in the same position as a lot of people that are going to do
that. Yeah, and Eric's in great shape, but we can't have him hurt. He's too big a muckety-muck.
No
we
question about that.
We can't have muckety-mucks.
No. I'm not worried about Eric. I think he's going to be just fine. It starts, I think, Claire, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the drive is shut down at 5:30 in the morning.
That's correct. We kick off at 5:30.
Look at that. Fifth, third, 5:30. Look what you did there.
See what we did there.
Yeah,
perfect.
It's incredible, yeah.
We recommend, getting on the drive no later than 7 a.m. to make the most time out there. You're all talking about having bikes, but if you don't have a bike, that's okay, too. We do have bike rentals available as well.
Are they the divvy bikes?
You can do it on a divvy bike.
Okay.
Yeah. But you have other bikes you'll rent as well.
We do have other bikes. We have a couple different rental partners that we work with here on the lakefront that we'll rent.
Bring your own helmet?
Bring your own helmet.
Okay.
Started last time in Grant Park, went south to the Museum of Science and Industry, turned around there, went back up north, and it's that route seemed to work for me. Now, it did get, probably will depend on the wind that morning, because that may determine which way you want to go first. But again, I just think it's a great way to get out, see the city, be outside. It's really, and then afterwards you have the big festival in Grant Park too.
Great festival down in Butler Field afterwards. We've got pancake breakfast. We've got a band. We've got a Revolution Brewing beer garden, jump zone, courtesy of Fifth Third for the kids. So definitely a little bit of everything down
and
there.
And I think the festival is open to everybody, not just people that bike the drive.
Correct. Even if you're not registered, you can come down and enjoy the fest.
And they start closing the drive, what, around 10 o'clock or a little before that?
Yes. So that's why we really recommend getting out early. As we mentioned, definitely before 7 a.m. to make the most time.
What do you mean closing the drive?
Well, the
night before, you're talking about 10 o'clock?
No, when they start closing it to the bikers, when they start
closing to the bikers.
Allowing the cars back on.
When you mix the cars up with the late bikers, that's how they learn.
That is.
You're definitely trying to avoid that.
Yeah. If you're on the path and you're like, ooh, I don't want to go all the way to the end to turn around, is there opportunities to not do the full biking?
Yes. So we say people can cycle as little or as much as they'd like. So we do have turnarounds around the course.
Well, Eric, I know you're excited about it.
I am. I hope that those that are listening will come out and join us for a fun family day.
Will your family be with you?
Absolutely.
Good. This is one of the mandatory family events.
It's all volunteerism.
He has a daughter that just came home from college. Honey, we're going to get you up at 4:30 in the morning.
On a weekend. That's great news. Well, congratulations to both of you. Thanks for everything you're doing with the Active Transportation Alliance. And when is it, Dave?
It is a week from Sunday. It is coming up on it's the 26th of May, and it starts at 5:30 in the morning.
Tom Skilling is guaranteed fabulous weather. Yeah.
Thumbs
up. Fun.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks again to everybody.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you guys for coming in. CLTV is with us. We'll come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
One of the hardest working guys in show business is here, and after we finish the interview, he makes me throw a coat on his shoulders, and he stands up and goes, I can't do no more.
That's pretty, definitely not true.
Billy Deck is here. Last time I saw Billy, I told you guys about this earlier, my sister takes me to Sunda for my birthday. And I'm in the men's room at Sundown, minding my own business, getting ready to leave.
We're all great.
You know that one room where you don't really talk about it publicly?
Well, because men don't talk in the men's room. Mm-hmm. You go in, you do what you need to do, you get out.
Unless you are at a bar or a nightclub, and for some reason, people talk to you at the urinals.
Yeah, which is unnecessary.
Close. Or Cubs games.
It's unnecessary.
Too close.
Billy's standing next to me, and we struck up a conversation, and then we did the right thing. We left and finished in the hallway. And
gotta tell you, I've known you for a really long time.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and I know I've some of the best memory visually.
Uh-huh.
And I would, you know, but when you see someone in a totally different environment, it takes a split second to be like, who is this man talking to me?
Vulnerable, alone in the woods.
Yeah, next to the
toilet.
Well,
sometimes you need an extra look at someone, and I would imagine in a men's room when you're standing at a urinal, that's not where you want to give someone an extra look.
No, because you're focused right ahead.
Yeah.
And
it's awkward because every time I see you, it's usually handshake or hug.
And that wasn't happening
there.
That's
not the place. Yeah. And so it was like really awkward.
You know, I actually, this is a true story, I actually peed with President Bush, the first one.
Did you?
Yeah. So, and I, you know, one of the movies I did, I was told I got the movie in the men's room. Apparently, everything's happening in the men's room.
There you go. You got fired right outside of a men's room.
I got fired outside of a men's room? Yeah. At the old place? Wow.
Right.
Someone tried to tell me that men talk in the bathrooms way more than women. I said,
that's not factually true
at all.
Because, not even close.
Because women go to the bathroom in pairs or more.
Right.
And just by default there, you're already talking. That can't be true.
When you got into the business, you know, restaurants and clubs, did you get to a point where you were concerned because half the audience would leave at one point or another, the customers, and you just realized, well, they're all going to the ladies' room. They'll be back.
No, when you're designing places, you actually have to build bigger women's room square footage because, like, you know that there's that many more bodies there to just stand around. And we also have done things in the past where we pull the mirrors out so that they actually keep it moving and keep it moving. And the mirrors are, like, sort of on the outside. There's many tricks to this.
And by the way, don't think we don't know the secret. Like, in the women's room, there's a cellist. You know, there's a masseuse.
Yeah. We have
the
better space.
A unicorn. Yeah, there's flowers falling from the ceiling.
If you go to the bathroom in a group with women and you're done first and you get a little impatient and want to leave, you get yelled at.
By the way,
wait for me.
True or false? Listen to this. This is something that people in the restaurant and bar industry know. Whose bathrooms do you think are much dirtier, men's or women's?
Oh, absolutely. Well, no, I was going to say men's, but you're going to tell me women's, aren't you?
I think it's women.
It's women.
Makeup.
They trash
cosmetics and everything, whatever.
No.
Water on the sink, paper towels, the toilets,
hairspray.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. I would think it'd be what you just thought. I would say, men. I mean, they come in and they're just like, But that was my sound effect for what men do.
Right.
Because when I saw you in the bathroom, that's what was happening pretty much. So, but women, for some reason, it's just like the amount we have to send people to the bathrooms to clean them. Yeah. It's like double time in the women's room.
Why are you this way? You
I
and
don't
your
know,
team.
But there's flushing issues. I understand. It's really weird because you see them all go in. They're a lovely group of people. They go in and then they come out and they look lovely. But what they've done in the room is terrible.
And it shouldn't be spoken of.
And the new thing is they take Instagram photos in the bathroom. Once they're all done up, right? Is
that true? Should be. You know, the bathroom should be a no Instagram space.
It really should. But the best part is they spend so much time making it look so beautiful. They look unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I know what's behind them, what they left in those stalls.
It is one of the great things about women. You go in the bathroom, you come out looking even better. Guys go into the bathroom, they come out.
Nothing.
Whatever.
Changed.
Yeah, it's the same. Let's talk about Sunda. Sunda is one of the great places Chicago.
Great transition.
Yeah, I'm a professional. I love Sunda, and apparently so does everybody else, because every time I go in for lunch, you're just backing them out the door.
Well, I am really, I'd like to say, well, it's really the staff. It's the staff.
You'd have a great
staff. 125 people that are just working day and night, so passionate, so committed. I don't even know what the number is, but I would imagine, and I'd love for someone to challenge us or tell us what the real number is, but I think it's under 1% make it to 10 years and are thriving in the restaurant business.
Doesn't surprise me, because restaurant business is horribly difficult, right?
It's horribly difficult, especially in today's world where there are so many changing demands, especially elevated demands, when people are taking Instagram photos and enhancing them like crazy. And there's all this, you know, food, porn TV, and all this other things that have people running around like crazy. And then there's getting it on your, you know, getting that food on your couch or wherever you want, whenever you want
delivery.
it's tough, and there, I think it's going to be a problem for the restaurant industry in general.
And here you are at 10 years.
And yes, and they're
well, Sunda's Food was ahead of the game in that it was photograph ready from day one, even before people were.
Well, sushi's artwork.
It is, and but you know, there's a
until
lot
until I eat it.
Because well, it's Southeast Asian, and when you go
do
to
do you use
some
a fork or do you use the chopsticks, Steve?
I'm sorry. Oh, it's on fork.
Fork, yeah.
Fingers, fork and fingers.
Fork and fingers. Yeah.
So, like fried
stop chicken. Laughing at me. I don't
Southeast
get out much.
Asian food, though, you know, when you start going through some of the different countries that we represent, whether it's Thailand, Philippines, Vietnam, it's not always as pretty from a colorful or like vertical perspective. So we've actually, when you see new Asian under Sunda, it's because we actually elevate the ingredients, elevate the presentation, try to, you know, give it some visual oomph, you know, and so people are really into it. And then that, yeah, Instagram.
But what I think is interesting, too, though, it's a big room. And sushi, when you started 10 years ago, sushi, I would dare say, was a niche food category. And your investors, mostly you, you had to be going, what am I doing?
And think about what was happening 10 years ago. So I was super confident and excited in the year of 2007, mm-hmm. raising all this money to do this gigantic space. And I had this huge vision to finally put, you know, everything that I've learned behind Southeast Asian food and things that I grew up with, being half Filipino, I back and forth to Southeast Asia, and I really wanted to bring this to Chicago. And then all of a sudden, make all the commitments, sign the lease, start spending all the money, raising the money, and then what happens? The world falls apart.
Yeah.
And then our costs go up because we can't get certain things delivered. Everyone's just falling apart on their commitments. And February 20 below of 2009, we're opening. And the papers are like, guess who's about to really fail?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like, and nightclub owners, bar owners never make good restaurants. So everyone's like, this is going to be the disaster of century. This new area called River North, where they're, you know, used to put not a lot of money in, now someone's bringing in this designer from Hong Kong and this world-class designer, and he's putting all this, you know, forth, and they're going to fail huge. And, you know, we were really scared, super scared. The thing is, though,
did you find out who your real friends were then, though?
You know, I found out that what we did strategically was a lifesaver. And what we did was we did one-third Japan, one-third China, and one-third throughout the Southeast Asian countries and cultures that I traveled over time with a backpack with no money. And so you could walk into Sunda and feel special in February of 2009 when you haven't left your house. And you could go through and sort of travel these countries through the menu as you wish and pick your own price points and pick your own sort of adventures. And you could do the $200 meal or the $20 meal.
So were you a restaurant genius with a vision, or was it a happy accident?
It was a happy accident. I was definitely not a genius. It was me just trying to do what I'd experienced myself coming up with no
money. But you had to believe in it.
I believed in the flavors and the bringing people in and making them feel super special the way my Lola, my grandma did. And it mattered. People needed that hug.
What a nice tribute to your grandma.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, that's why I went back. I went back in January to film a documentary, because when my Lola died, unfortunately, even though she was the best cook, growing up in Chicago or growing up, I'm sure, anywhere in the U.S., people feel this if you're from a different ethnic descent. She fed us all this really wonderful stuff, but we were always trying to fit in, and we always, you know, people at lunch didn't want to trade with us. Mm-hmm. They didn't. People would come over.
Grandma, can you make
school.
A grilled cheese?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was like, yeah. Everyone else gets pizza bagels,
right?
And they get like peanut butter and jelly.
Why not Hot Pockets,
yeah,
Grandma?
Yeah, Hot Pockets. Right. Yeah, she, you know, and here she is making these world class like empanadas, which is essentially kind of like a more delicious.
Well, you must have been paying a little bit of attention.
Well, I didn't realize until unfortunately she was gone, and I went to college, and I sort of came back and I missed it. And, you know, slowly over time, once I started to learn the business, I wanted to pay tribute and really give people that hug and that food experience and go through Southeast Asia. And yes, and that's why I think Nashville works, is because we just opened up Nashville. We just had our 1 year. And I think it works because, one, everyone loves Chicago. A lot of people love Chicago and Nashville, and they've gone to Sunda. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, when you go through those Southeast Asian islands, again, that effect worked. They love the emotional like hug and taking care of them once you're in our home. And then also you can have all the things through Vietnam and Thailand that's cooked and noodles and, you know, steaks and chicken.
It's home in Chicago.
Documentaries, yes. BillyDeck.com/documentary, so you can get it there. It's also May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, which
right.
is yes. exactly
right.
what you are and what Sunda is. And then there's a charity thing, Sunda Sessions, happening on May 18th. What's that?
All right, no, wait, hold on then, because we're going to tease him. As a professional broadcaster, tease. Come back and find out what Sunda Sessions is, and we'll talk a little more with the great Billy Deck in just a second. I've always been told that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Our pal Billy Deck's here, one of the most generous guys and hardest working guys in Chicago. I mean that. You know that.
Wow.
And Sandberg, you were asking before the break?
You have a thing called Sunda Sessions coming up on May 18th. What is that?
So this is Saturday. We are doing these experiences that we offer, like sushi rolling classes, a pig roast. We're doing this whole vegan feast because we challenge the chefs to make the most amazing vegan food ever.
Oh, that's really cool.
And basically, we create these experiences because people get to do things they can't do at home or at other places, learning how to roll sushi and stuff like that. And all the proceeds are going to Camp One Step, which I have been supporting for years now, going to camp where these kids with cancer get to live it up like crazy and be kids and smile and have fun. And
it's a great organization.
Yeah, we go boating and there's all sorts of sports and it's just living at camp. They get to go to camp. You know,
they must have a blast with you because you're immature enough that you're just rocking and rolling with them.
I do get really immature and they like to like I remember my first day was like this paint war and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna watch this paint war. And no, I mean, it's
next thing you know, you're shooting.
And you want to be really delicate when you get there first because you're like, wow, there's, you know, hundreds of kids with cancer here and they are full of energy and life and happiness, and they
the last thing they want to talk about is how sick they are.
Oh, right. No.
And they don't want to be handled gently at all. They want to
let's go.
And they're tugging on you, and there's like a dance party, and you're not watching. They're pulling you out on the dance floor, and they're just like all of three or four.
I love that you have been supporting Camp One Step all these years and continue to do it because they are truly a great organization. Chicago Baseball Cancer Charities outing coming up, and they've supported Camp One Step for years as well. Yeah. All right, I know we're going to run out of time. What about acting? You done with acting?
I'm not done with acting, but I love to storytell on screen, so that's why I'm doing this documentary. And, you know, I just want to do more things with food and travel. But
what about this marketing company?
I am actually in a movie that's premiering in Atlanta on May 30th. If you're in Atlanta, hit me on social media. It's called Mollywood. I was filmed in Chicago, but with a bunch of there's a lot of filming going on in Atlanta as well.
Sure.
But yeah, I think.
Are you playing
I'm playing
else?
A DJ.
Oh, nice.
But he's the guy that's like the best friend between the killer and the cop. I cried on camera.
No kidding, you pulled it off?
I pulled it off.
Wow.
It was the craziest experience of my life. And people are like, how'd you do that? I was like, I went to the deepest, darkest, worst place ever.
Right.
And I believed it and I cried. So I'm just starting a marketing company and an HR company because I want to start providing a lot of the services that I've developed over the years, being a restaurateur, to this crazy situation that I think restaurants are
now. You're all a grown-up businessman now. Look at you.
Tell me you're
not going to stop wearing hats and still stay up late. Because you have to.
I will not. I actually don't as much as you think. I don't do either of those two things
stay up late when you need to. When you need to. it's a great Billy Deck. We love Sunda and we love Billy Deck. And we love what you're doing. For all things Billy Deck, BillyDeck.com. That's DEC, BillyDeck.com. And BillyDeck.com/documentary. You can see it there.
And on any social platform, anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he owns social media.
Wow.
Yeah. And Sunda Session starts again on Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday. Information through Billy Deck's website, too. It's all linked there. Great to see you, man.
Thank you so much.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Headlines next, 720 WGN.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's 9 o'clock hour on CLTV and on 720 WGN. It's not that we reserve some exceptional people here, but we do want to expose as many people as possible to some exceptional people stories, and this is certainly no exception to it. A young man named Jonathan Wells is here. He's going to go off to college, going to graduate at the end of the month, going to go off to college at, I don't know if you're familiar with Cornell University.
Ivy
Leaguer, that's right. And by the way, that's the voice of Greg Dellinger.
Ooh.
Greg's a pal, and Greg is a radio guy at his heart and soul, even though, you know, he does other work now. And the greatest, I hope you heard me bragging about you earlier this week. Best auctioneer of all time.
Well, I don't know about that. Always sit on your hands. Good to be here, Steve. Thank
nice
you
to
so
see
much
you.
For allowing us to be on WGN Radio and on your program. Good stuff with Jonathan Wells.
Yeah, and I want to explain as much as possible. Jump in and correct me if I'm wrong
sure.
here, Jonathan, or I mean Greg. But Jonathan, let's start with you first. You're from where?
Chicago, Illinois.
And grew up in what neighborhood?
Auburn Gresham.
So, brothers and sisters?
I have two older brothers.
Okay. And you obviously are a very good student.
Yes,
is this something that you always worked at? You got a mother, a grandmother, somebody kicking your tail? What inspires you to be a great student?
My aunt really does a lot for me and my brothers.
Okay. And your brothers help keep you in order and making sure you're doing your work. What's the primary interest? What do you think you want to do with your life?
I would like to be an architect.
Yeah, me too. Ever since the Brady Bunch. What type of architect?
That was a cool house.
I'm looking to do residential architecture or high-rises.
Really?
Not really sure yet, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, and you were looking at several schools. Obviously, you have the grades to get this done. Cornell University is not cheap. How are we going to get this done?
I have a full tuition scholarship and a work study for
$2,800.
So.
Where are you going to be working, do you know? Because that's Ithaca, New York. I know that town.
Yeah, I have no idea yet.
Okay. Well, if you need help there, call me.
How did you get that scholarship?
Not sure. Financial aid just awarded it. So,
well, obviously, because
you had to
apply or you had to be put up for it, certainly.
Yeah.
And this is all through AAR. And Greg, tell us what that is.
Yes. First off, AAR is an aviation support company. Do many, many things around airplanes and helicopters. We're in the parts business in the aftermarket. We do aircraft maintenance.
And this is your day job.
This is my day job. Straight job. There
right.
we go. The best team in aviation. And we also fly aircraft all over the world. And as part of my duties at AAR, I help with our internship program, both the collegiate.
So how'd you find Jonathan?
So we have an awesome partnership with Perspectives Charter School, which is where Jonathan is getting ready to graduate in about a week and a half or so. So don't mix it up, Jonathan. All right. We're pushing across the finish line. And so we have this.
I like his chances.
Me too. We have this amazing partnership with Perspective Charters. And over the last 6 years, Steve, we have worked with the students with regards to their academic rigor, a disciplined life platform, which are 26 principles around social and emotional learning. And then we've also helped with the experimental learning, which is their career days and their intern and their shadowing.
Well, this sounds like a well thought out, in-depth internship program. This is not a show business internship program where you come in and go, what are we going to get the kid to do today?
This is leadership.
This is David not coffee running or anything
no,
like that.
No, this is leadership. Our chairman, David Storch, and our CEO, John Holmes, are very active and really help drive it. And so over the last 6 years or so, we've had interns from Perspectives.
But you brought this young man up. You're very proud of this young man in particular. I'm not saying you're playing favorites, but what was special about Jonathan?
Well, With Jonathan, first off, he was in the 2017 intern program, and right away you saw his character, as well as his classmates, this honorable, accountable, and scholarly. These were really smart kids with grit who were really sort of shifting the narrative of educational outcomes. And last week, we held the A Disciplined Life Gala, Hey Now, and Jonathan was the keynoter, and his presentation, friends, was the most amazing.
You get nervous standing up in front of people and talking, Jonathan?
I was nervous, but it ended up really great.
You know? Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. He absolutely knocked it out
of
the park. And then, Steve, like you and I did with the NAMI benefit for the National Alliance of Mental Illness and Behavioral Health on Saturday evening, you know, I kind of he teed up that paddle raise, and then I went out there on behalf of AAR and
made a whole bunch of money.
Yeah. Brought in a few
dollars.
How
was that for you, Jonathan?
It was really great. It felt rewarding to help give back to my school.
Yeah, now the thing is, you sound like a good kid on the way to being a good man, but there's lots of challenges. Are you nervous about going off and being on your own?
I mean, yeah, going to college definitely brings a lot of nerves. I've never been in such a rigorous academic setting, especially at an Ivy League university, but I have such a strong support system. And just thinking about the people who I work hard for, my friend Jayla at my school is working to become a surgeon. She's going to Bradley University. My friend Joshua wants to return to his neighborhood to help bring things up, and I'm one of those students who really thinks that I have to do good in order to help my community, and that's all I really wanted to do.
Well, and think about that, because I know your grandfather's here today, and a great architect could do a lot of good in Auburn Gresham if you choose to come home.
Yeah.
So there's lots of opportunities there. Now, I'm going to give you a little tip about Ithaca. Get off campus. Stay on campus. Cornell, soak it up. But don't just get locked into campus. It's a great little town, and you should experience it as well. So get out and see the people, because the people there love students, and you make a lot of friends there.
Should he head over to Ithaca College, those bombers?
No, those guys are losers.
Okay.
That's where I went.
Shout out to David, our chairman, because that's where he went.
Yeah, we both went. The difference is he actually stayed.
Jonathan, you said you feel like you have to do this to make your neighborhood better. Do you talk other kids into doing this type of stuff?
I mean, yeah, I do, but my school fosters so much leadership activity that I don't really see myself having to do that. You know, a lot of students have the initiative to say, we don't have recycling bins, so we need to start a recycling program, or we don't have people to advocate for a specific group of kids, so let's go to the network or talk about this with our principal. So a lot of it is not really me being the leader, but me being a teammate.
Well, it sounds like you got some very solid family support, but who else is out there supporting you? I mean, I know the AAR thing's great, but was it a particular teacher or somebody else in your life that helped push this?
So many teachers. Yeah. Growing up, I didn't have the best childhood, so a lot of things that got me up in the morning were at my school. You know, teachers were so supportive, and Perspectives is unique because they foster an emotional standpoint of learning.
So school is a bit of an escape.
Yeah, they say you're not just an academic, you're a person too, and if you're not having a good day, then you can take a break and you can get back to your work.
This is, so, we had Stedman Graham in studio at 7:10 today, and he was talking about our education system and how they don't teach kids to be leaders, and they don't address the emotional side of things, of how that's important.
It's huge deal.
Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly what they're doing.
The students that I have found at Perspectives that have come through the internship program that I have met, friends, I mean, these are future leaders. They will absolutely change the world in ways that has never been seen
before. Which is great.
Inquisitive, so smart, driven, ethical. I mean, that's you, Jay.
Yeah, one thing that's really fostered through my family and through school is success is fostered through passion. And sure, it was important that my school fostered passion in their students. I remember when I was younger, I was really into Japan for some reason, and I wanted to learn Japanese, and I interpreted Japanese at the Shedd Aquarium for a while.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what language are you gonna
6 years
learn this
ago?
Year.
Me too.
So it was just from a teacher saying that what I wanted to do was important and it mattered, that
and it's attainable.
Me, exactly, and right, it's attainable. It resulted in me 6 years down the line interpreting Japanese at an aquarium.
I want you to stay in touch with us. I want you to let me know how you're doing, not just because it's, you know, the town I grew up in, but because I'm just very impressed with your story, and I hope you're proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, and use that to drive you and continue to drive you. Keep your eye on your grandpa over there, will you?
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're in the same club as grandfathers. We watch each other.
We're going to be hanging with Billy Deck.
Cornell University, do you sing at all?
No.
You should maybe consider it. There's a group called Cayuga's Waiters, I believe. It's an a cappella group. You got a great voice. You really do. I mean, I don't know if you can sing, but you got a great voice. You could take the show over when you come back.
Oh, thanks.
I'm trying to picture that voice translating Japanese.
It would sound different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like he's a smooth.
Well, Greg D., thanks to you and everybody at AAR this very impressive young man, Jonathan Wells,
thanks
going off
me
to learn about life even more and change the world at Cornell University this fall. Just another inspirational story. So good luck and have a great graduation.
Thank you.
Coming up. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy in just a second. And unfortunately, we ran out of time before I could get to competitive meat judging. What? Competitive meat judging as featured in Sports Illustrated. Maybe next week we'll do that. 9:58, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next. Hello, Bill and Wendy.
Steve, hi.
How are you?
Happy Friday.
Today? Yeah. Woo! Whew. We made it through another week in the mines.
Yes.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. Woo! Big plans for the weekend?
Nope.
Okay, Bill?
I didn't know it was the weekend until you just said it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put something together.
How's your tennis game? I haven't asked you in a while.
It's been very good. Thank you for asking.
You won a tournament.
Yes.
I won a pro-am tournament 2 weeks ago.
Are you in Wimbledon, or is it still to be the tournament?
No, they won't let me in Wimbledon. Mm. Nope.
Tough break.
Yeah.
I got a big golf tournament tomorrow.
What is this one?
It's called the Spring Classic.
Are you in the Spring Classic?
I'm in the Spring Classic.
What are you going to do?
Well, hopefully play better than I've been playing. Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. Dave Bennett said Roger Federer pulled out of the Italian Open.
Yeah, there's an opening.
Maybe since you're a pro-am.
Oh, I fill in for him.
Yeah.
All right. I got to go, you guys.
They need a fifth.
Supposedly injuries, and it turns out they're emotional injuries. He just got his feelings hurt.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I want no part of that.
We have Who tickets to give away today, our last pair. The Who coming to town on Tuesday. I will be at that show. It's the first time I've purchased tickets in a very long time.
You bought tickets?
Yep.
It's funny you say that because we were talking about Hamilton earlier, and I bought tickets to Hamilton. And as you know, the reason you get into show business is don't buy tickets.
Right. Things have changed.
Yeah.
We've been told that's closing. Did you know that?
It is. Show business is closing?
No, Hamilton is wrapping up.
Oh, Hamilton's closing.
Hamilton's closing, and then show business.
Scared me. I thought show business was closing.
Steve,
that would be a bad development.
Bite your tongue.
We'll come back Monday. Here's Wendy.